Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. It's that time again. My name is JT. They call me AT Money sometimes. They call me the Master. That's what the name of this show is, The Master Plan. The number to call is 347-637-3220. Say it again, 347-637-3220. Let's hear some of the what I'm talking about, the master plan, and I'll be right back.
Don't know about the mother, about the right way to go. Stop them from selling out. Teach them what pride is all about. Go out and tell them it's time to take a stand. YZ is worth thinking of a master plan. I'm thinking of a master plan. YZ is thinking of a master plan. I'm thinking of a master plan. Back again to explain what I expressed just a second ago. Cause you still don't know. At least you don't act like you do. And if you do, what am I going to do with you? Here's my shoe. Put your foot in it. But see what I'm seeing. Black power in the realm and the government's disagreeing. They can't see it cause they're moving too fast. And they can't last cause they just had a blast. None of the past but on cocaine. They keep tripping it. An addict takes a cigarette and keep dipping it. Smoking, token. Hey, I don't play that. I'm frowning. While Mr. Reagan kept...
All right, stop the show. Stop the show. Stop the show. All right. Like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room that's open and ready for business. You got something to say in the chat room, you don't want to confront me on the air, that's fine. You can do it anonymously in the chat room. As always, the chat room is open season. Bring it on, whatever you like, whenever you like, however you like. That's what I want you to do. The theme of this show today, on this fine Memorial Day weekend, where we remember the heroes that are present and past. That's one of the themes of this weekend is to it's Memorial Weekend, so you remember people, especially those in the service for one. And your loved ones for another, not necessarily in that order, but time to reflect on people that that you have in your head and your heart. With that being said, like I said, the theme of this is to this show today is to be busted out. I mean. First of all, let's do this. There's two people in the entertainment business that I neglected to recognize last week, and I'm going to recognize these two men this week. One being the Chuck Brown. If no one knows who Chuck Brown was, he was born in August of 1936. He passed away a little more than a week ago, May 16th, 2012, to be exact. He played the guitar and he sung. He was the godfather of go-go, which is a super genre of funk music developed in around Washington, D.C. For those of you who are not familiar with Chuck Brown, I suggest you Google Chuck Brown on the air. And before we go any further, I got a call already. Let's see who we got here. Welcome to the Master Plan. You're talking to the Master JT. Oh, he got disconnected. What the hell happened there? He got disconnected. I don't know. Had a caller, lost him. Don't know what happened. Maybe hopefully he'll call back. Anyway, like I said, Chuck Brown from the D.C. area, the go-go swing type of music. I have some music that you may be familiar with. I'm going to play a short clip of Chuck Brown, and then we'll move on to the other person in the entertainment business that I know everybody knows, because the song I'm going to play is extremely popular. But Chuck Brown, he brought one of these, and it's one of the themes I want to talk about today. About that was Chuck Brown. Like I said, he passed away a little more than a week ago, May 16th. I was remiss in not mentioning him last week when I mentioned Donald Duck Brown and Donna Summer. He passed in between both of those stars. But Chuck Brown was a funk man. He a funk F-U-N-K man. And he brought some serious funk, and like I said, he was from the D.C. area, and I wanted to recognize him because he was one of the celebrities that passed away. Also, the other artist, and I know everybody has seen this picture or for the most part heard the music, hear the first two bars or whatever of this song that I'm going to sing. He was one of three guys in the group that came about in the disco era. And the song that was in the disco era was a hit. I love this music. I love the movie that was in this. I love the song that was in this movie. The name of the movie was Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta. That's one of my all-time favorite songs, I mean movies. And this song is one of my favorite all-time songs. I'm going to play about maybe a minute of it, and then we're going to move on with the show. But I have to give it to Robin Gibbs. He was born in December in 1949. He passed away, the 20th of May, a week ago today, and he was part of the Bee Gees. For those who are too young to know who the Bee Gees are, I encourage you young people to Google the Bee Gees and what they were all about. But when you hear this song, he was one of the pioneers of this type of music, and it's still loved today, this type of music, and especially this song. Remember, every time that song comes on, a picture goes in my mind of John Travolta strutting down the sidewalk as this song is being played. It's one of the all-time great songs. And Bee Gees' music, besides Robert Gibbons passing away, will live forever. Anyway, what I wanted to do is that when I said staying alive, this is one of the things I wanted to cover. I'm going to be covering redemption for somebody who has been wrongly accused. I'm also going to be covering somebody who a guy gets admitted into a hospital and comes out being a woman. I'm going to cover that. And then I'm going to also cover the a New Jersey governor defying the federal government, pretty much putting up the one-finger salute to the federal government and daring the federal government to do something about it. I'm going to be covering this. And also, we have time, I'm going to be also covering the NBA and the recent playoff game between the Celtics and the 76ers. Old school type of game that took place, which was won by the Celtics, and we'll go from there. But first off, this is one I wanted to cover. This guy was a high school football star, and I'm glad I have in the chat room somebody from, it looks like maybe from the left coast, the west coast, because that's what I'm going to talk about, this young man I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy named Brian Banks, 16 years old at the time, high school football star with aspirations of going, besides going through college, he had aspirations of going to the NFL. Now, I have a clip. I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll come back. It's about a two-minute clip, so listen to the clip, and then I'll come back and talk about it.
Brian Banks was a star linebacker at Long Beach Polytech when his dreams were shattered by a rape conviction. His accuser later admitted she lied, and now Banks is free man. Eyewitness News reporter Miriam Hernandez is joining us live from Long Beach with his emotional day in court today. Miriam?
And you might expect a bitter man to emerge from this ordeal, but today Brian Banks tells the world that this experience has made him stronger, more patient, and ultimately a better man.
There comes a time when you have to let go in order to move on. The only thing I wasn't going to let go was this fight.
A 10-year fight backed by friends, family, and the California Innocence Project. A battle to show the court Brian Banks was wrongly accused and wrongly convicted. He was 16 years old, a top athlete with NFL dreams. It all dissolved after a classmate, 15-year-old Juanetta Gibson, passed a note to a friend claiming Banks raped her. It read in part, "He didn't have a condom on, and I was a virgin, now I'm not." Gibson won a $1.5 million lawsuit against the school. Banks got 5 years in prison, 5 years on parole, and a lifetime label as a sex offender. Until this moment, exoneration.
The people will concede the matter, Your Honor, and ask the court to grant the petition.
Right. Petition is granted.
The turnabout came after Banks' accuser asked to friend him on Facebook. He wanted much more. A confession, and he got it. Now, once more, he sets his sights on a football career.
I'm ready. This is the most determined individual I've ever met. If you are looking for someone who has the athletic ability but the heart, give him a chance.
On a day of high emotion, Banks and his parents say they hold no anger against the accuser.
She was 15, and it was the adults that were behind her that were pushing her.
Soon Banks will shed his ankle monitor and a dark past.
I vowed to myself that I would take this opportunity and be the best person that I can be in this world and show people that no matter what you go through, there is light at the tunnel.
There was no comment today from the accuser and no word yet on whether any criminal or civil action will be filed against her. Reporting live from Long Beach, Miriam Hernandez, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
Now, let me tell you, people, let me tell you, just because, and I firmly believe this, and I have friends of mine, that just because someone gets arrested, does not mean that the person is guilty. And this is just one in many that have gotten arrested, and because the assumption, because he's a big black strapping man, and I'm not just saying because he's black, but a lot of it happens because he's black. But in this circumstance, he was a big black strapping football player, popular probably, because he was probably looked on to go to the college, all-star in college, like I said. And go to aspirations to the NFL. That the assumption was that it was a black on black crime because this woman, or I shouldn't say woman, she was a young kid at the time, 15, screamed raped or whatever. And for all those conspiracy theorists out there, maybe somebody, because you heard in the clip that some adults behind her were pushing her. It could be an overzealous prosecutor. Or the parents or whoever that were the adults pushing her, caused her to lie on this guy. And I'm going to read a short article about this Brian Banks. So you heard that. I'm going to give you a little bit more of what I'm talking about. Like I said, he was a former high school football recruit who lost a shot at the dream of his college football and just about anything else as a result of a casual makeout session with this 15-year-old Juanetta Gibson. Now, what happened was, from what I understand, was this. He was making out with her in the stairwell or something like this, and she assumed whatever, and he kind of spurned her, like, you know, It is what it is. This is a one-time thing. Don't think it's going to go any further as a relationship. And she got pissed off. There were two students, quite actually, at the Polytech High School students. They did not have sex, but Gibson accused Banks of rape nonetheless. Despite a lack of DNA evidence, Banks' lawyer, who won't be winning any Perry Mason awards anytime soon, advised his client to take a plea against his own innocence. And this is according to Sporting News. The attorney was hardly an advocate. She told me, and this is a quote from Brian Banks, "I was a big black teenager. Now, I can't believe, because it happens all the time," Banks said, "and no jury would believe anything I said." I can believe that. Black man, they always think that the man, and this time it's a black man, thinking that it's going to be super aggressive, always looking for sex, bang, bang, think, get out of here, leave me alone, I got what I wanted, or I'll take it forcibly. And they always assume that this is the type of persons that we are. I would say men in general, and then black men after that. Eventually, Banks, he served 5 years and 2 months in prison and spent another 5 years on probation. When he was released from prison, he had to register as a sex offender and wear an ankle bracelet. Now, 10 years, 5 years in prison, 5 years probation, had to register as a sex offender, and that goes with you for a lifetime. Okay? I'm not finished yet. Any shot he had of making a go of football was gone. Now it's just about survival. That's one of the reasons why I said staying alive. I wanted to play that besides a tribute to Robin Gibb. Now it's just about survival under unimaginable circumstances. How do you live a life as the worst sort of person when you're not, and how do you get past losing that much of your life for something you didn't do? I don't know how this brother was able to let me just answer this in the chat room. What I'm saying is this. The story gets even crazier, okay? Besides what I just told you, it gets even crazier. Gibson, who's 180 Gibson, who's a 15-year-old that cried rape, sued the school district for not providing a safe environment, and she got $1.5 million out of it. Like I said, she got that. She lied. She got paid for lying. And now I'm going to give you a little more of the story. For those who don't know this story, look, I'm telling you, Google Brian Banks and you won't believe this story, but I'm going to run it down to you. Last year, she had the nerve to contact Banks through Facebook and ask to be friends. Come on. Most people would have bombed that friend request with all the appropriate obscene verbiage, but Banks had something else in mind. This brother, with all this, he still kept his wits about him because he knew he wasn't about that. He wasn't about taking something that women cherish. And he wanted to see how far he could get this person to commit or to admit that she lied. I stopped what I was doing. This is a quote. I stopped what I was doing, he said, and got down on my knees and prayed to God to help me play my cards right. That's an end quote. Banks set up a couple of meetings with Gibson, who said that she tried to help Banks clear his name with one caveat. She couldn't talk to prosecutors, you see, because she might lose that $1.5 million award. So she wanted her cake and eat it too. She wanted to be able to say, you know, I lied. You know, I lied. But check this out. I'll tell the prosecutors, but I don't want to pay the money back, for one. But I'll tell the prosecutors, I'll tell you. Banks secretly recorded conversations in which Gibson admitted that the charges were bogus and took those recordings to the California Innocent Project. A lot of people who've been in jail and wrongly accused, a program that California Western School of Law. Okay? Attorneys brought the case back to the judge who convicted and sentenced Banks, and on Thursday, his name was finally cleared. She wanted to have bygones be bygones, meaning, you know, it's over and done with, but I'm sorry, but I don't feel I have to pay the money back. The accuser didn't attend the hearing, and the local DA said that she won't likely be charged for falsely accusing Banks because the case is 10 years old, and she was only 15 years old at the time. Now, if that's not bad enough, I'd really like to know what the DA or any other local official plans to do about the $1.5 million they paid this woman. It's tough to reconcile that concept after watching her glibly admit that the charges were false. As for Banks, he has lost 50 pounds since he started working out in earnest last October, and the former star linebacker is trying to move on and give his football dream one more chance. This is a quote from him, and he was on the Today Show. "Let me show you what I can produce," Banks recently told on the Today Show. "I think that any team that gives me an opportunity will really be impressed with what I can do. Even if Banks can't pass that particular test anymore, there's no question any team would be impressed with who he is. As for you, Mr. Gibson, or Miss Gibson, you got one hellacious karmic debt to pay." Believe that. 15 years old, doesn't think she would have to pay the money back that she lied about to get, and wanted bygones to be bygones. You know, I put you in jail for 5 years. I labeled you a sex offender. You were on probation with an ankle bracelet for another 5 years after you got out of jail. That sex offender carries a lifetime ban or a lifetime label on you. And let's bygones be bygones. You got to be kidding me. Are you kidding me? Now, that was like she's about, 20-something years old, maybe 30 years old now? And she thinks like that? What's wrong with our society, people? What's wrong with our people? What's wrong with our people? Black people, where are you? Where is your sense of fair play? Where is you? Who told you to do this? You get pissed off at a 16-year-old football player and said somebody raped you, and then you let the adults play runaway train with a lie instead of stand a woman up at 15. I understand you're 15 years old. But you know, dummy, you know what's right and wrong. And then you get paid and don't think you have to pay it back because you admitted to a lie. Come on. You know what? I can't do this. That's it. End of story. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I say it again. It's 347-637-3220. Brian Banks, on this day, I salute you as a strong man, and especially as a strong black man in a society that is quick to judgment and quick to put a lot of us away. Some of us deservedly, some of us undeserved, like yourself. Glad you kept your wits about you, even though you spent that time in jail, in and out of jail, and labeled that you didn't go the opposite way. I salute you, my brother. Stay strong, and good luck in your quest to try to get into the NFL. Okay. Now, I also had told you about somebody that I played Chuck Brown. I'm talking about busting loose. Well, I got another story for you here. And the reason I'm bringing these stories up is because it took my eye. I had to jump into these because the fact is these are unbelievable stories that I came upon in the last few days. And I had to jump into them and let you know about them, especially the last one of Brian Banks. But this one is a really peculiar one. And I'm going to read the whole article to you because I don't think anybody knows about this. And when I finish with the article, just like I asked you to Google the two artists, Robin Gibb and Chuck Brown, and also ask you to Google Brian Banks, I'm going to ask you to Google this. I got this off of Yahoo also, and the title of this is "A Man Admitted to Hospital for a Kidney Stone Discovers He's a Woman." All right, a Colorado man who was admitted to the hospital for a kidney stone received surprising news when the nurse came back with test results revealing he was actually a woman. True story. I'm telling you, this is a true story. And when I finish reading it, you'll be surprised. I wish I had a clip. I had the clip, but I lost it. But maybe you'll get the gist of this story after I read the full story. Denver photographer Steve Cresilius said he's felt a little different all his life. When I was about 6 years old, I started having these feminine feelings, but that was in the 60s. Wearing my mom's makeup, I thought I looked pretty. So when he went to the emergency room 5 years ago, he wasn't too shocked when the nurse told him she found traits of both genders in his ultrasound results. He was intersex, meaning he had both male genitalia and internal female sex organs. I'm telling you, that's why I'm relaying this on the air, because the fact is this is crazy. So when he went to the emergency room 5 years ago, he wasn't too shocked when the nurse told him she found trace of both genders in his ultrasound. The nurse is reading the ultrasound and says, "Huh, this says you're a female," Cresilia said. "It was very liberating. I had spent so much energy after the age of 13 constantly evaluating how people looked at me and acted towards me." Steve, who now goes by Stevie, said his wife and six children accepted his new identity right away. You heard me right. He has a wife and six children. Just listen to what I'm saying. He has a wife and six children. So this guy has been very busy for a very long time. "We told him individually. Some were in person and some weren't. A quote. Every one of them said, we don't care one way or the other. We love you for who you are. And you're still my dad." Cresilius and his wife, Debbie, had been together for 25 years, and she supported him every step of the way, including taking him to buy his first bra. You can't make this up, people. You cannot make this up, what I'm saying. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I got a lot of things going, a lot of mention in the chat room. I got Adam GB is listening to what I'm saying. I got East Angeles' EDL radio show listening also, and they're commenting on what I'm talking about. Welcome, you guys. I'm glad that you're listening. Send me the links to your radio show, and I'll return the favor quite naturally. I like to see what you guys have to say also. She told Chrysalis, and quote, "You know, when I first saw you, I said to myself, he runs like a girl." Wow. You can't make this up. This is crazy. You can't make this up. "I think we were pretty good when we began to mourn the loss of her husband," Chrysalia said. We worked through what we needed to. The concept of unconditional love is a larger story. And here's the explanation of what the intersex is. Intersex is a term used to describe people who bear both external genitals and internal organs, such as testes and ovaries. A person with the condition may have male genitals along with fallopian tubes and ovaries. The condition, and I'm not laughing at that, I'm just saying the condition used to be called I can't pronounce it. It's so long I can't pronounce it. I can't pronounce it. Meaning that the person can't be identified as male or female. Hermaphrodite, okay? It's an ism, okay? How about that? According to the Intersex Society of North America, which I never heard of before, but I guess there's one like that, more than 1,500 children a year are born intersex. Hermaphrodite. There you go. You're right. Thank you there, Adam GB. For Chrysalis, he hopes he could be an advocate for those born intersex and same-sex couples. "I think of bullying because I haven't heard anyone talk about this. It's important to talk about it. People need to be accepting and understand. I was born this way, and loving each other and supporting each other will always be the main factor in our household." That's a quote from Steve Chrysalis, who happens to be a person that's intersexed, has both female organs and male genitalia. Wow. I had to read that because the fact is it was a pretty interesting story, very interesting and off the beaten path, and I do that's what I do. I give you crazy stories like that for one, and it is what it is. The other story I wanted to talk about before we go on to the NBA is the story about the New Jersey governor, and I happen to be living in New Jersey, defying the federal government, pointing his middle finger at the federal government. This is what I'm going to read. I'm going to read an article here, and then we'll go from there. 3 years ago, Delaware planned to introduce sports betting, including gambling on individual NFL games. The proposal prompted a lawsuit from the NFL and other sports leagues. Now, I'll tell you right now, Delaware has sports betting. It's on parlay tickets, so you can't bet on one specific game. I've been to Delaware. I have wagered with parlay tickets and won on parlay tickets. Quite naturally, it's harder to win several games at one time versus individual games that you like to load up on, but there is a ban in effect nationwide, and further into the article I'll read it. Now New Jersey wants to give it a try. Governor Chris Christie, hard-nosed governor, Republican governor, a no-nonsense type of guy, and making a lot of changes in New Jersey, some good, some bad, ruffled a lot of feathers in New Jersey, and still ruffling a lot of feathers. Now he's taking it to the national stage. Said Thursday that sports wagering will arrive at New Jersey horse racing tracks and Atlantic City casinos later this year. And the NFL almost certainly will file to stop it, okay? Now check this out. Legalized sports gambling beyond where it has already existed, it will not happen. And that was from an NFL spokesman, Greg Aiello, told Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports. Aiello refers to a 1992 federal law that prohibits sports wagering. The only exception is the states allowing wagering from 1976 through 1990 would re-implement or continue such programs. The NFL's attack on a Delaware plan succeeded, forcing the Delaware to merely resurrect its post-1976 foray into parlay betting, where multiple games are selected at a time. Now, that's what I told you. You can only do parlay tickets. You can't do individual games like a lot of people would like to do. Not saying that they know anything, but a lot of that's what they do in Vegas. So Chris Christie is saying, uh-uh, we're not doing that. We're going full boat. We're doing the same thing Las Vegas does. The difference this time around is that two NFL teams are headquartered in New Jersey, and Super Bowl 48 will be played there. For now, however, New Jersey's effort won't affect the game. We are continuing our Super Bowl planning and do not anticipate this having any impact. The league's position possibly is influenced by strong optimism that the NFL will beat down the New Jersey plan in court. However, if New Jersey somehow prevails, the league's plans could change in theory. So, you can shoot your nose off despite your face. So, Chris Christie said, look, we're going with gambling. Basically telling the federal government, giving that one finger salute and saying, stop me if you can. Because I'm doing it one way or the other. He signed the bill into law in May 24th. I signed this bill into law because it's another way to continue to boost our casino and horse racing injuries and encourage tourists to come to Atlantic City. We're doing this in a responsible way that not only gives visitors another option, but ensures we're doing it the right way. Now, I'm going to read this a couple of paragraphs to go along with what I just said here. This legislation signed earlier this year by Governor Christie allows wagering at casinos and racetracks on certain professional and collegiate sports events. The rules announced Thursday by the governor were developed by the Division of Gaming Enforcement in consultation with the Casino Control Commission and the Racing Commission. To engage in the business of sports wagering, a person or entity must obtain a sports pool license. Only a casino license by the CCC, which is the Casino Control Commission, or a racetrack licensed by the Racing Commission may apply for and obtain a sports pool license. Moreover, 50% of the proceeds derived from the collection of license fees will be used to fund compulsive gambling treatment programs. So this is telling them you can gamble, but use your head about gambling, okay? Bet with your head, not over it. You know, you've heard that saying before. The new regulation also established that sports wagering tickets placed within a sports pool lounge located at a licensed facility. For the racetracks, the lounge must be located in a simulcasting room or area unless approved for another location by the Division of Gaming Enforcement. While the new rules prohibit sports wagering on collegiate sports events that take place in New Jersey and those that involve a New Jersey college team, there are no limits on professional sports teams. This is supposed to the proposed rules will be published in the New Jersey Register on July 2nd. That means I'm wearing a Rutgers T-shirt. I couldn't go to a casino or a racetrack and wager if Rutgers was playing a football game, whether they were playing a game in-state or out-of-state. I couldn't wager on that game. We would expect those rules to be enacted this fall in October or November and for sports gambling to come to here to Atlantic City to further enhance the experience of people who want to come here, visit here, gamble here, and enjoy time here. Well, we have sports gambling in Delaware. There's illegal. Hold on a minute here. I got a phone call. Phone call from No Surrender. Welcome to the Master Plan. You're speaking to JT the Master. State your name and what you got to say.
Yeah. Hi, Jerry. Yeah, I've been listening to your show, and I wanted to come back and talk about what you were talking about earlier, Jerry. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm enjoying it. And as I say, it's the first time that I've actually shut up. I thought, well, I'm going to give it a go and give you a call. My name's Jeff, by the way. I'm situated in the United Kingdom. And I thought I just had to pop onto your show to say hello to you, Jerry. Great show. And you've been making me laugh. So thanks, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're calling all the way from where?
The United Kingdom, England.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't
man.
Know how. I'm impressed. I didn't know I reached that far on the other side.
Oh yeah, you'd be amazed. This is the power of the internet, isn't it? It's amazing. And I just had to give you a ring and just say, oh, what a great show. And I'm enjoying every bit of what you've been saying. Some good stories there, Jerry. Some very interesting ones. And you did make me laugh about the. God, I admit, we mustn't laugh about this poor man. Having to wear a bra and that, but you can't help it. It's funny. It's funny, Jerry.
Yes. I agree with you. Well, I appreciate you calling me and give me a shout out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's as I say, I thought I'd just give you a ring and say what a great show you've got going there, Jerry, and I will be listening in to you in the future. I was still just passing through and I listened and I thought, yeah, I like this, and that's why I've been sitting here just listening to what you've got to say. A very interesting show, mate, and power to your show, bruv.
Thank you. Well, I'm here every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so feel free to call back anytime and listen in.
I certainly will, Jerry. Yeah, cheers. I thought I'd just come. Yeah, as I say, I've got my own show. I've had three shows this week myself. It's the East Anglian EDL radio show. It's something that just started up this week. I was asked if I could do it. So I've been going around listening to good people like yourself, just getting a little bit of tips from great masters like yourself, Jerry. So it's great. And great show you got there. And I will tune in every week. I say it's just the right time for me to tune in, actually.
Okay.
As you know, we've got time difference. It's probably about 5 hours, maybe five, six
right.
hours difference. But anyway,
right.
Jerry, you carry on, though, because you're doing a great job. Great job.
Thank you for your phone call. Have a good day.
And you too, Jerry. And I'll still be listening. Bye, guy. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, I got a call from the United Kingdom talking to me. I'm very impressed about that. Thank you for the phone call there, my man. And keep on listening and tell your friends about me. I'm here, like I said, I'm here every 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Sunday, without fail. The Master always delivers like he promised. Anyway, let's go. I've talked to you about some fallen stars that have passed away recently. I've talked to you about an injustice from a former football player. I've talked to you about a guy walking into the hospital for one thing, kidney stone, and walking out being a woman, I should say. And I also talked about Governor Christie pointing his one finger up at the federal government and saying, I don't care what the federal law says. New Jersey, I passed a law. New Jersey is going to start sports gambling. And we're going to start it in the next 3 or 4 months. Do something about it. And that's my governor, and that's the way he's been in this state. And now the federal government is getting a dose of it. Anyway, let's move over to 15 minutes we have left in the show. Let's move over to the NBA and what took place yesterday in the NBA, last night to be exact. For those who are NBA watchers, who watch the NBA, been watching the playoffs, you saw the 76ers and the 76ers and the Boston Celtics play Game 7 in Boston yesterday, which was a tight game for the most part until like the 2 or 3 minutes left in the game when one Rajon Rondo decided to save the day for the Boston Celtics. Scenario is this: with about 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, Paul Pierce gets his sixth foul. With the game in limbo. I mean, not limbo, but teetering one way or the other. And the way things were going, is a strong possibility that the 76ers could have pulled it out. Let me put it this way. Rajon Rondo decided to say, we're not going down like that. And he seized control of the game and took the life out of the 76ers late in the game with some offense. Which let me put it this way. With his team season and perhaps the viability of a big four hanging in the balance, Rondo reeled off 7 straight points in the final 3.5 minutes, including a deadly deep jump shot with the shot clock dwindling down to its final second that transformed a 3-point Boston advantage into what I would say a roundhouse knockout punch. He had a triple double, 18 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, as well as he carved out his own place in Celtic postseason history, despite finding himself in an in-game funk that left his teammates and coach employing him to shake it off the self-doubt and stake his claim in the game's outcome. You can see it earlier in the game. He had gotten down on himself, saying that he can't. And then he just seemed like he just turned it on. For some reason, the light came on, he was deadly. He took the place of Paul Pierce in the game because Paul Pierce quite naturally had fouled out, and like I said, they were floundering they were teetering on the brink of losing this game. Because they didn't have what supposedly was the glue of the team, or one of the glues of the team, was Paul Pierce. Although the Celtics led nearly wire to wire, they were staggering toward the finish line without any momentum or rhythm, in part because their point guard was struggling to put his imprint on a game. Before he hit those final three shots, he was 3 for 10 from the floor with 7 turnovers, and Paul Pierce wasn't having a hell of a game either. The Sixers were playing a gritty game, even though they weren't having one of their better games, and you had to watch the game to really understand what was going on, because Rajon Rondo was floundering until that final 3 minutes of that game, where he hit deadly jumpers from both sides outside of the 3-point line. One was his foot was on the line. He hit a 2-pointer, and then he hit a 3-pointer with about I think about a minute or so left in the game, which put them up like about 9, which was deadly. I mean, it was you could see the body language of the 76ers, just the life of them just wilt after he hit that second. He hit a two-pointer, which looked like a three, but they replayed it and looked at it, and it was a two-pointer from one side of the court, from the left side of the court, and then he hit a deeper one, which left no doubt it was a three-pointer from the right side of the court, which is even more deadly. So it's going to be interesting to see how these two teams the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat are going to relive their rivalry again, because they're going to be playing again for the NBA Eastern Conference title, and that's going to take place. The first game starts on Monday at 8:30 p.m. on ESPN. Today at 8:30, Oklahoma City and San Antonio is going to start their first game. This is going to be a battle. I've said on several shows, and I'm saying it on this show, that let me go this way first. East Anglia's EDL radio show from the UK. Here's a link to his radio show. For those who are interested, I'm going to give you the link. It's quite naturally, it's on Block Talk Radio, so it's www.blogtalkradio, that's one word, .com, / the-English-defense, and defense is defence-league-show. I'll say that again. It's to watch this East Anglians EDL radio show. The link is www.blogtalkradio, which is one word, .com, /the-English-defense, and defense is spelled defence-league, league-show. I don't know how the times, which would be equate to Eastern Standard Time. So if you could give me the times of your show, I would gladly pass them on. But I'm going to be listening to this show. I just need to know the times, and you're welcome. I will definitely push this show more. Just give me your times, and I'll push your show, definitely. Like I said, the first two games are between Oklahoma City and San Antonio are going to be played on Sunday, which is today, on TNT, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, tonight. And then Miami is going to be played 8:30 p.m. on ESPN tomorrow. And the East Anglians EDL radio show is 8:30 p.m. Greenwich GMT time, okay? That's 8:30 p.m. GMT time. So it's about 5 hours difference. No, it's about, I guess it's a 5 hours difference. Not sure, Eastern time, bro. 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, I think, bro. Okay, 3:30 Eastern Standard. Yeah, it's about 5 hour difference, if I'm not mistaken. So it would be 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to watch that show, or listen to that show, I'll say it again. It's East Anglians EDL radio show. It's 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's on Block Talk Radio /the-English-defense. Defense is spelled defence league, league-show. I'll be tuning in every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay? I'll make it a point to jump on my computer and check out your show. I really appreciate you listening to the show and also calling in. It was great talking to you. Hopefully we talk to you more in the future. With that being said, I like Oklahoma to come out of the West. I think Oklahoma's got a hell of a chance. I like the young guns of Westbrook, Durant, and Harding, along with the Perkins and the other supporting cast. I think they have a very good team. Not to say that San Antonio, who has tried and true and veterans who've won championships, meaning Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Tim Duncan. Those big three have won championships. And I do believe this is going to be one of the best series going. Boston and Miami, you know, to me it's a foregone conclusion that whoever wins between those two, that whoever comes out of the West is the eventual winner, because I think the two West teams are better than the two East teams right now. So either one who wins in the West will beat either who wins in the East. But because these two teams are I wouldn't say bitter rivals, but they're definitely rivals, for the most part don't like each other, I think that's going to be a hotly contested series, pretty physical series. It could be a nasty series, but we'll see what happens when it all goes down on Monday for Miami and Boston. We'll see what happens, and it goes down for the other two teams, Oklahoma City and San Antonio tonight. Anyway, we got about 3.5 minutes left in the show. I want to thank my friend from calling from the UK. It's been a pleasure. I hope he listens again. I'll be listening to his show and possibly getting a chance to call in and converse on his show also. Also, I'd like to Tuesday is the Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. She has a totally different show than the other four shows that we have. She comes on at 4:00 Eastern Standard Time. She's a half-hour show. From there, we can progress to the FFP Cruise show. I am the host of that, along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. That's on 8:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about a lot of things, sports-related, fantasy-related, even politics. And then we jump from Thursday to Friday. I co-host a show with Mac Williams. It's called No Chaser. We give it to you straight with No Chaser. We give it a lot of things going on in that. We talk a lot of politics, some sports. That happens on Friday from 7 till 8. It's an hour show. And then we go to the mother, the father, whoever you want to call him, Vic Gardner, who has a show on Saturday at 1:00 Eastern Standard Time. It would be the FSP show. We converse. I co-host on that. So you get me Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in one form or another, because we wind up just like we hear right now on the master show, the master plan, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. each and every Sunday, same time, same place, with the same person all the time, talking all kinds of things, sports, and political, whatever it may be. I want to end this show like I always end the show. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, He can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future. So I say over and over again, be careful how you treat people. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Peace, my friends. Enjoy the weekend. Some people are going to feel like the next song. It's a holiday weekend, so bust loose, have a good time, but be safe.
till you get what you need, y'all.